science and religion are not mutually exclusive. Look, evolution happened. Happens, will continue to happen. It takes place over long, long periods of time, and that's science. God is the creator of the universe. God created, creates, and will continue to create. That's religion. Science and religion have coexisted for as long as people have been thinking. They're not at odds. Science is not attacking religion when it comes up with theories as to how things operate. And religion is not attacking science. Well, not everyone agrees with that, because sometimes people attack religion. People attack science. But science and religion, these two things, without all of our interference and all of our fights, science and religion get along just fine. Look at your bulletin cover. See that young scientist, the test tube in their hands. It says, in the United Church of Christ, we explore, celebrate, hypothesize, believe, question, and pray. No matter who you are or what project you're working on, you're welcome here. Science and religion get along just fine. So you can be religious and sciencey all at the same time. You can appreciate mystery. We got a lot of mystery in our religion. Like this business of the Trinity. Today is Trinity Sunday. One God experienced in three describable ways by humanity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three equals one. One God, three distinct personalities, three ways to describe God. So, the Trinity, what is it? It's a mystery, and it's a way to attempt to describe something that isn't fully understandable. Maybe it's a way to try to understand this story of creation when God says, let us create humankind in our image. The concept of the Trinity wasn't known yet when the Bible was written, at least this part of the Bible. Maybe it's a way to look back and try to explain it. Maybe not. Maybe that whole let us is a way of humanity at the time when the story of creation was being put together to try to understand within the context of, hey, so many religions have so many gods. Wouldn't our God be multiple too? But it's one God. And it's all very confusing. We have enough confusion within our religious texts to discuss and learn about instead of fighting with science. But the Trinity, it is a mystery. It's a way to try to describe this thing that isn't fully understandable. And what it isn't is a litmus test. You want to come to church, you want to be a Christian, and you don't fully get the Trinity, or you don't believe that's the way it is? All right. Because we're different. We have different ideas. We have different experiences. We have different beliefs. We have different preferences. I like it this way. I like it that way. I don't like that. And I know that all of us have the right way to do things. Notions. We cling to them like Velcro infused with rubber cement. This is the way it should be. People are willing to make just about any idea into the one that they're willing to make the center point for battle. And it doesn't have to be that way. Some things maybe they're worth it. So many others aren't. Like creation versus evolution. I wish I could understand why people still cling to that. You want to cling to something? Make it about human rights. Cling to that. Make it about treating people, especially those who have been historically marginalized, with respect and dignity. Make it about being a people of extravagant welcome. Make it about taking Jesus' commands to love God and love each other seriously. And maybe put that into practice all the time, but maybe this week. Like caring for creation. We've got a challenge from the national leadership of the United Church of Christ. in the face of our U.S. president pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords. The UCC says, it is an opportunity for which the church was born. We call upon our congregations and clergy to embrace this moment of opportunity in three ways. One, accept the mantle of moral leadership. Now is the time for clergy to speak from their pulpits about the moral obligation of our generation to protect God's creation. Let the world know that whatever the current American administration may say or do, the Jesus movement will not back away from God's call to protect our common home. Incarnate change. Now is the time for congregations and for every person of faith to set a moral example through our own words and actions. As individuals and as communities, we can commit to making decisions of integrity in our energy choices and to holding our leaders accountable to do the same. Proclaim truth in the public square. Now is the time for communities of faith to be bold and courageous in proclaiming truth in the public square. It is now abundantly clear that the federal government will not address the greatest moral challenge that the world has ever faced. It is up to us. Those are bold opportunities. Those are bold challenges. And you may not agree with all of them, but as we know that agreeing with everything here, everything that I say, there's not a litmus test that says that you have to. We're different. We have different ideas, different experiences, different beliefs, different preferences. And we do have a challenge in front of us. As the church, as individuals within the church, as clergy, myself, accepting the mantle of moral leadership that the church has been entrusted with. Be a people of incarnate change as God infuses our thoughts, our actions, and to proclaim truth in the public square, not just here in these walls. It's so easy to jump on the bandwagon when we're here within these walls, but in the public square, to be a people of, yes, moral leadership, to be a people of hope, to be a people who care for creation, care for one another. Those challenges are worth living out. So let's look at humanity. Let's look at all of creation and acknowledge, as God has and God continues to, that this is good. Amen.